Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
I chose, the people I made especially for myself, are people accustomed to praising me. Take that, church. Take that word. Know that you are part of something bigger than yourself. Bigger than right now, right here. Bigger. God is doing something new, and we have to be responsive to that. We have to be flexible to that. We might have to go with the flow. Allow God to mess some things up. Some of our tradition, we may have to allow God to mess that up. Some of our normal ways, we may have to allow God to mess it up. We have to be a flexible people. You know, that's one of our values here, is being flexible at any one time to what God and His Spirit is doing. Because we don't have all the answers, but God does. And He sees the bigger picture. We only see just a small portion of that picture. But let's not look back. Let's look forward. Let's recognize the season that we're in. You know, God says in His word, you know, in Ecclesiastes, He says there's a season for everything. There's a right time for everything. In your life, there's a right time for everything ordained by God. There's a right time, but you have to recognize the season. You have to respond to what God is doing in whatever season it is. Can't miss it. Can't get angry. Can't turn away. Can't pull out. Eyes fixed ahead. Can't look back. There's nothing back there for us. There's nothing. Nothing back there apart from learning what we needed to learn and taking it into our now for our future. But there's nothing else there. Nothing at all. But there's only His promise. His promise. There's plenty of God's promise for now and for our future. Plenty of His promise. There's a right time for everything. I want to share you that. I believe that, you know, really is a word for our church, and just Shirley confirming that this morning. I just have to share that. James, we've got a video this morning that James is going to play for us. Thank you.
I've heard it. You've heard it. It's time for a new beginning. Time to start a fresh page or paint a new picture with our life. Sounds great in theory, but it can seem impossible. Life is messy. The lines have gotten blurred. Maybe we just don't know where to start. We look at the canvas of our lives and see mistake after mistake after mistake. It's overwhelming. When I look at my life with these messy lines and scribbles, it makes me think, is this as good as it gets? There's no eraser that can make this life make sense. But what if? What if there was someone that could make sense of our mess? They could take all our scribbles, all our mistakes, all our missed opportunities, and make them into a masterpiece. And then I remember, there is Jesus. He gives us a new life. Every day is new. Every day is a blank canvas full of possibility and promise. He takes our canvases, our lives, that have been filled up with shortcomings, secrets, tragedies, and embarrassments, and He helps them make sense. When I look at the canvas of my life and I see nothing but disorder and chaos, I have to remember this. God is not a God of disorder. He's a God of peace. And you know what? He wants to take my hand and bring peace to the canvas of my life. So as we seek to make our mark, let us give God all our scribbles, all our mistakes, all our hurts, and trust that He will turn our messy lives into a masterpiece. His masterpiece.
What a great thing. Our mess, God's masterpiece. We've all had or are in messy lives. There are different parts of our life that have some mess in it. But we all bring something from that to this community, for Jesus, for the community of believers. Jesus makes sense of our mess. Take a moment to think about this. Every shortcoming, every problem, every failure, disappointment, every misunderstanding, every loss, God can make something from it. If we trust Him, if we allow Him to. You know, it's a new day every day in God. And I'm encouraged and pushed to believe that every day. It's a new day. Today is a new day for you and I. In Christ, a new day for God to do something new, a new day to let go and let God be the one who takes control. You know, this applies to our individual lives, but it applies to our church. It applies to our greater community. Who are we? We are His people. We are the hope of the world. We are the church. I'll never forget, you know, Bill Hybels, a great leader and teacher and preacher in America, always preaches on the church is the hope of the world. The church is you. The church is me. We're the hope of the world through our mess. It doesn't make sense, but we are through our mess and through what Jesus has done and is doing for you and I in our lives. You know, Matthew 16, if you've got your Bibles there, or your tablet, or whatever. Matthew 16, verse 13. I'm reading out the message today because I love the message. When Jesus arrived in the villages of Caesarea, I can never say that properly, Philippi, he asked his disciples, "What are people saying about who the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some think he is John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some Jeremiah or another of the other prophets." He pressed them, "And how about you? What do you say I am?" Simon Peter said, "You're the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus came back, "God bless you, Simon, son of Jonah. You didn't get that answer out of the books or from teachers. My Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on a secret of who I really am. And now I'm going to tell you who you really are. You are Peter, a rock. And this is the rock on which I put together my church, a church so expansive with the energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. And that's not all. You have the complete and free access to God's kingdom, keys to open any and every door, no more barriers between heaven and earth. A yes on earth is a yes in heaven, a no on earth is a no in heaven. Church, that is us. We are the rock which God has built his church on. And we are the hope of the world, no matter our shortcomings, no matter what happens. Jesus died on the cross, not in vain. He died on the cross for you and I. He walked on this earth. He established his kingdom. The gospel, the church grew so quickly. Back in the days of Acts, it grew because it was speaking life in such a dark place. It was speaking freedom. It was speaking of the kingdom of God to overtake the kingdom of this world. Jesus brought victory that we could never bring. He's brought victory in your life and mine. In our mess, he's made that masterpiece. You know, he exchanged our mess. He exchanged our failings, our sin, for exchange of a redemptive life. You know we're living in a redemptive life? When you really think about that, when you really get that into your psyche, that we've been redeemed and we're living a redemptive life, you've got to be thankful. When the mess is going on, you've got to remember who you are. You're the church. You're the son and daughter of the living God. You've got to remember, you can't forget that Jesus is in control no matter what. Now, I had a dream probably about a week ago, and it was a really scary dream. I don't have many dreams. Not like Keith, he's always having dreams. But I don't have many dreams, but I had this dream, and in the dream, I was in an absolute mess, like I really was. Something was going on. But in my dream, I didn't know Jesus. I didn't know him. And that feeling of not knowing Jesus, not coming to Christ, not experiencing salvation was really scary. Not knowing that Christ is not there, he's not in my realm, was a really scary experience. And I woke up and I was like, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that I've met Jesus. And as a body, we should be so glad that we've met Jesus, because life without Jesus is not a good one. It's not a good one. You can fake it till you make it as much as you can, but there is always something missing without Jesus. We're designed to belong. We're designed to worship something more than ourselves. His name is Jesus. He brings life. He's the answer to every problem. Amen. He wants to bring blessing. He wants us to be fruitful, like the scripture says, fruitful and multiply. He desires that for our lives. You know, and then in the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about what do we want to be known for as a church? And we talked about we want to be known for our love, real love, not like, I love you. Love in action. Love in action, church. Love in action that goes the extra mile. Love in action that puts yourself out for others, that is above your own agenda. Love that understands that some people have come along a lot more longer than others to get to this place in life now. Understanding that everybody that you meet has a story and they're all different and they may not fit with your criteria. But Jesus loved them and loves them, and we're called to love others. You know, what do we want to be known for? We want to be known for our love. You know, we talked last week, we got people up to, was it last week or the week before, to list what you think is important in life. And you, again, love, integrity, acceptance, hospitality, be given to hospitality, worship, truth, trust, generosity. They're all important things to be called a church and to be a church in action. You know, and if I can sort of this week just bring it all together, the heart of our church is about loving others, impacting and restoring lives. Every one of you have got a story, haven't you? You've got a story of how you came to this point right now. In some way, you were loved by somebody and Jesus. You were impacted in some way that brought you to Christ. Your life was never the same, and you were restored in some way, because we're all broken. We're all broken. And when you realize that we're all broken and that we're a mess, we can't fix it ourselves. We have to play a part. Absolutely. Process and do things the best we can, get counselling if we need, whatever the situation. But Jesus comes and he meets you and I where we're at. And he comes to restore. And he comes to fix what is broken. He comes to make beautiful what has not been lovely. You know, that's just a concept that is way above what the world is. It's way above. And, you know, I just thought about this, loving others, impacting and restoring lives. And I thought about John 4, the woman at the well. What an awesome story. I'll just paraphrase a bit in John 4. You know, Jesus was tired and from his journey, and he went to a well. And he met a Samaritan woman who came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Bang. Jesus goes to a place where others would not go. Up front, meets with somebody, puts himself out. The heart of Jesus. Jesus answered, "If you knew the gift of God and who is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Jesus brings us living water. Living water. Think about that. We've been given living water, life that breathes things and grows things. "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with me and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself and did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in a spring of water welling up to eternal life." It's talking about eternal life, about victory, about abundant life. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." She didn't fully get the concept. He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but the Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming where you worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is for the Jews, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit, in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit and his worshippers must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." She still was having this encounter with Jesus, but she was not fully getting it. Then Jesus declared, "I, the one, are speaking. I am he." Jesus met her in her mess. He told her her life. He talked about the life that he could give, living water. And then he impacted not only her, but the whole town. "Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with him, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more were believers." As a church, we're called to love others. We're called to go to people that other people wouldn't go to. We're not called to judge. We're not called to put that person in a box and go, "Oh, I couldn't do that." you know, I don't mix with those people. Jesus went to everybody. Salvation is for everybody. His love is for everybody. When you get involved in Jesus, your life will be impacted and continue to be impacted for eternity. He impacts our life, and as a church, we want to impact our community. And then he restores her, tells her about her sins, but he restores her. He tells her about the life she can have in Christ. He restores her. We're called to restore. Did you know that? We're called to restore. We're broken, but because of Jesus, we're restored and can keep getting restored. And as a church, when people connect with our church, most of the time they're broken in some way. In some way, they've had some sort of experience that has tried to shut them down. It's tried to take them off track. It's tried to make them small. But through the love of Christ and through his impact of his message of living water, he restores. And we're called to restore. If I said to you, do you have anybody in your life right now that you know that needs help, that needs love, that needs restoration? I bet that you'd all agree with me that you do. You know, we're influencers wherever we go. So some of us work during the week. Some of us are retired. Some of us are in the community volunteering. Whatever you're doing, even with your family, you are influencing for good or for bad. We all have bad days. But no, there is a bigger plan and a bigger picture, and it's because of Jesus and we've received him that we can give freely to others. You know, and the road ahead is a good one if we don't look back and if we understand where we're headed in Christ. If Christ is truly the head of this church, then we are his representatives. We are the hope for out there. We are the hope to each other. And you know, part of my prayer is always, Lord, bring people to the church that don't know you, or let us as a church go to people that don't know you, two way. But Lord, also bring the people that have had a hard deal in the church. You know, the church, when we come together, we're a church of believers, but we're also people. And if you haven't been hurt, you will be at some stage. If you haven't been offended, you will be at some stage. But the church is part of God's plan to work through things, to forgive, to let go, to not allow bitterness to get hold like a root and grow like a big tree in our lives. The church is part of God's plan to work through our stuff. But sometimes it's too much for some. As I said, some have to come further than others. But my prayer is, come back. Come back to the church. Don't give up on the church. Jesus doesn't give on the church. He loves the church. The church is the hope of the world. We are the rock in which Jesus builds. You know, when in your prayer life, pray for those people, because I believe there's a time coming where they will hear the fresh new call of God. I believe that that is part of the revival that is starting to happen. The fresh new call of God to people that have turned their backs. They've gone to sleep. They've forgotten. They've been in their slumber, to turn and come back, to receive what God has for them now. That is our prayer. Lord God, restore, impact, move, build, release. You know, we've been talking on this couple of weeks as well about a releasing of gifts in the church. I feel so encouraged when I come on a Sunday and I see the gifts being released in people's lives, even as we have church together. That's what it's about. You all have a plan ordained by God. How awesome is that? What a privilege that is to be in God's kingdom, helping to establish it here on earth. You might go, my life's too messy. I just can't do it. I'm not up to it. You're up to it. You are up to it. It's a new day in Christ every day. Every day it's a new Christ. Don't look back. What's back there is never, ever going to help you right now. It's being now and looking ahead and believing and declaring the promises of God over your lives. The promises of God are true and amen. You know, I want to finish now because I don't want to speak too long this morning. I could speak on this stuff forever. You know, restoring our lives. Psalm 23, verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Psalm 51 verse 12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 11. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace and the God of love and peace will be with you. With you and I, the God of peace, the God of love will be with us. I get put down, but I get up again. You ain't never gonna keep me down. I love that song. It's a footy song. Where's Josiah? It's a footy song. I get put down, but I get up again. You ain't never gonna keep me down. Sometimes, church, you have to have an intentional mentality in every area of your life to see God's promises come true, to see breakthrough come, to keep walking forward and not go back. Such a powerful thing. Such a powerful thing in God. Powerful people in the hands of a powerful God. Look out. Look out. Timothy, but you men of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you were made your confession in the presence of many witnesses, in the sight of God who gives life to everything and of Christ Jesus who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, which Christ brings about in his own time. God, the blessed and the ruler, King of kings, Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and lives in an unapproachable light whom no one has seen or can see. To him be the honor and the might forever. Amen. Can you say amen this morning, church? Amen. Amen. Serving something so much bigger than ourselves. Would you be standing this morning with me and come into agreement with me this morning? A powerful people in the hands of a powerful God. The church. Awesome. I've got too many notes as usual. Everywhere. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord God, that you are a God that loves us. You love everyone, Father God. You call everyone. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you have loved us and you have impacted us, Lord God, and you are restoring us. Lord God, as a church, we take on your heart this morning, Father God. We take on your promises this morning, Lord God. Lord God, we don't look back. We cut off. We cut off the past. We live in the present and we look forward to the future in you. Father God, we raise up this morning those that we know, Lord God, that don't know you. Lord God, we ask for them right now. We ask for our family members. We ask for our community, Lord God, to receive you in Jesus' name, to be set free in Jesus' name, to have breakthrough in Jesus' name, to come to you running in Jesus' name. We ask for them this morning, Father God. Lord God, we ask for those that have walked away from your church this morning, Father God. Bring them back in Jesus' name. We declare that their purpose is not over. It's just beginning. Lord God, there's giants out there that are asleep. Wake them up in Jesus' name. Wake them up, Lord God. Do a stirring that they cannot put it down, that they cannot turn away, that they cannot go asleep again. We declare that this is a time. This is a time for an awakening in Jesus' name, for an awakening of your spirit, for an awakening of your blessing, for an awakening of your healing, restorative power in Jesus' name. This morning, church, don't forget who you are in Christ. Be encouraged this morning. You know, if you need prayer this morning, I encourage you to come. We're going to close the service now, but I encourage you to come. Others, I encourage you to come and pray for people this morning if they need prayer. Encourage them. I want to encourage you just as we're leaving that Brett and Rosie are in the Philippines and Brett prayed for somebody for their deaf ears to be heard. They got complete healing from deafness to hearing as he prayed. He is ecstatic at the moment in the Philippines. Continue praying and believe that something's going to come back here. Amen. Be blessed.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5. 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.